On today's show, Season 3, Episode 2, Yin and Yang, I'm going to be reading from Chapter 2 of the Tao Te Ching, and then commenting on it. After that, we will have a short break, and then I'll come back and talk a little bit about myself, if you want to hear about it. Coming up on your favorite podcast show, Cup of Tao, starting right now. You're listening to Cup of Tao with your host, Chris L. McClish. Chris is a man with many roles, many journeys, and one spirit. Hello, how are you doing? I'm trying to learn and survive from the stress of my new job as a probation and parole officer and dealing with life. Hope you're doing okay. So let's dive in to today's topic, Yin and Yang. First, a reading about this topic from the Tao Te Ching. Today I will be reading from the Benjamin Oliver annotated 2016 version. Chapter 2. Once beauty is identified as precious, ugliness is seen everywhere. Once the good is upheld as ideal, the commonplace is considered bad. Difficult and easy, long and short, high and low, sound and silence, before and after. Each of them are complementary parts of a bigger unity. But our conditioned minds don't perceive it that way. We drive each aspect as far apart as possible from its complement, and increasingly obsess over their division. Therefore, the sage acts without struggle or coercion, and teaches by example and illusion rather than rote and rule. Things come, and he welcomes them. Things go, and he bids them adieu. He helps with no expectation of gain. Works with no expectation of reward. Performs with no anticipation of results. Completes projects, but takes no credit. Since he takes nothing from the world takes nothing from him. And his impact upon the world long endures. We notice that despite how many natural laws there seems to be a guiding principle of balance. What we sometimes see as opposites, you know, like positive and negative, light and dark, life and death, etc. Most often, though, we forget that in order for something to be meaningful or even exist, it has to be defined by its opposite. That means our understanding of light would have no relevance if we didn't understand the contrasting knowledge of what darkness is. We see positive and negative forces, even on a small scale with atoms. We see space on a subatomic level between things that seem like solids. We even see darkness within light. And of course, we have lights within darkness. We see death follow life. This principle of contrast is everywhere. It seems like it's sewn into the fabric of existence as we know it. On a moral level, we, well, most of us anyway, see the light side or goodness as being the ideal. Yet we fail to see two things, or should I say, we may not want to acknowledge two key findings. The first is, we need what we know as bad to be there in order for us to see what we would know as good, and vice versa. Now, that might not make any sense on a moral or on a simplistic level, but think about that very deeply. And the second thing is, we often don't acknowledge that the best of us have a dark side. From a Western view, we often want to stamp out what we see as bad, hoping that the good wins and is rewarded, that life is fair. Yet it's a very hard pill to swallow that perhaps that which we see as a contrasting force may be there for a reason. Maybe a reason that we don't yet understand or may never understand. That's another reason why I think we shouldn't ignore one of the pillars of Taoism, which is compassion. We can take statements such as, it rains on the just as it does the unjust, and statements about everything in this world being straw dogs, to mean that the Taoist should be indifferent and lack compassion. Instead, Lao Tzu has laid out several instances of the Taoist being compassionate, which I can talk about in other chapters. A greater understanding is that the natural order of things include people and things having, for lack of a better word, their own nature. It is the nature of a tornado to destroy things. We often place ourselves as above this natural order of things. I think George Carlin hit the nail on the head when he jokingly said that we didn't have to work on saving the earth, that the earth would be fine, that we're like parasites or fleas on the dog, and the earth will just shake us off just like a dog would shake off fleas. It's really us that need saving from ourselves. I think I can talk some more on this stuff when we discuss later chapters. I think my brain is ready for a break. Stick around after the break if you want to hear more of me rambling a little bit about my life. But this week, see if you can notice some of the cycles that are found in nature and in life. See if you notice how that there's darkness within lightness and light within darkness. Think of the yin-yang diagram, the martial arts symbol that you see, and how that relates to things. Don't forget to subscribe to my show in your podcast player app or to the RSS feed. You can find my email address, contact information, a disclaimer, and more information in the show notes, so please check those out. Be sure and purchase my book, Accepting Life on Life's Terms, Taoist Psychology for Today's Uncertain Times. Look for the book wherever you buy books, available in written and digital format. As I dive more heavily into my job duties as a probation and parole officer, I notice that I can just observe myself getting really overwhelmed sometime with the caseload and being paged overhead and having somebody in the office and emails coming up and just really stressing out about things, allowing my blood pressure to feel like it's boiling with inside me. But it's good in the sense that it helps inoculate me from the stress. I can learn, I think through this, there's a lesson there that I can learn to better deal with stress. I've always been the kind of person that when I talk to somebody that I have to talk to that's made a mistake on a bill of mine or something, I tend to really get worked up. And I'm learning to kind of calm myself down. I know it's ironic for somebody that teaches meditation and mindfulness to admit getting worked up over things. But that's part of the reason why I got into mindfulness and meditation and things like that in the first place is because I tend to be a really high reactor. And people that really react to things are the type that can really suffer from blood pressure and heart disease and things like that. I'm trying to learn to keep my cool. The other observation that I have is I find it interesting how many people don't react to things. I get really upset if I've ever missed, you know, if I was late for a doctor appointment or if there's a bill due date approaching. I always make sure that I do my due diligence to make sure I meet deadlines. And yet I notice a lot of people fail to show up for their appointment with their probation officer and fail to show up for court dates and kind of react to it nonchalantly, like, oh, well. And that's an observation that amazes me. But I'm hanging in there. Like I said, I hope you're doing well. And I'll check in with you again on the next episode. See you soon. Thank you. Hey, that's all for today's show. I will see you next time. May peace and love be with you. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Is a Coach CMC production.